You can turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Three mottos to live by. Three mottos to live by. In just a moment, we'll read Matthew 6, 33. I failed Sunday morning, and I don't know if it's going to be obvious in this service, but it was obvious in first service. For whatever reason, I was cognitively impaired in first service, and I stuttered and stumbled all over myself, and that's okay. We've been with each other for 25 years. I asked you early on, you let me be me, I'll let you be you. One day trying to say that, I said, if you'll let me be you, I'll let you be me. Yeah, so it happens. We laugh and we move on. But last Sunday, I failed, and when it hit me, oh my goodness, because I needed your prayer support. And so I sent it out to folks to pray. 3 o'clock last Sunday, I preached a 27-year-old Seth Connors funeral. He took his life 7 days previous to that funeral. So you know, and I'm begging you to hear what I am saying and don't hear what I'm not saying. Because I'm not here to put down anyone that has went through that or a family that has been touched. I'm here to beg you, if you're struggling with that temptation, get help. I can help you. Others in this congregation can help you. It is not worth it. It's a permanent solution to a temporary situation. With that said, none of that is meant to put Seth down. I was blown away by not just the sadness, but yet also the hope and positivity. Because I really can't think of a better experience, if you will, and illustration to support what I'm going to share with you today. None of this is new, but I've never put these three together that I know of. And I really believe and see that God is pouring the momentum into this church. And I want to do my best to agree with that, if you will. And I believe these three mottos will help us to continue the direction God wants us to go. With that said, the family, Seth was a foster child. And Seth had settled in with Suzanne and Damon Hiley. They have two biological children, and then the rest, 9 children total, the rest are either adopted through foster care or foster children that they call the Hileys their family. They were all there. They all knew Seth well. They have got something going on that is precious and good. Well, they've gotten into the Mandalorian. So, Andrew, you would have to tell me if, as pastor, I can recommend this to the church. I'm not recommending it. If you want to watch it, talk to Andrew. He'll tell you, because I guarantee you, he knows. I love Star Wars. I can only assume that I would like Mandalorian. I just haven't yet given my... I'm watching too many Coon Behind videos. But nonetheless, thank you for laughing. That was meant to be humorous. There was a helmet, a Mandalorian helmet, sitting on the bench desk where Seth's remains were. And then the 8 children, they all possessed a helmet too. Now I'm sitting here trying to figure all this out. What's going on? Am I fixing to be initiated into something? You know, what's going on? And so what they did, and again, Andrew, if I'm saying something wrong, don't correct my sermon. Just talk to me later, okay? Brother Larry Sykes used to say that all the time. Don't mess up my sermon. Just get with me later. But anyway, Damon came and shared the way, the Mandalorian, you know, creed. And while he shared it, those 8 children put that helmet on. And 2 of the things about the creed that this family has just latched onto is that, number one, the Mandalorian, he's a soldier. And he's a soldier for a cause. And one of the causes is that when they find a person that has been, orphaned, or it looks like they're orphaned, they call them a foundling. It is their responsibility to take that child, to protect that child, and until they can either get that child back to their family or raise him or her as their own, and then when that child's old enough, They decide whether they want to follow the way, that's what they call it, as a Mandalorian, or they want to go their own path. What does that sound like to you? There's a lot of similarities there with Christianity. That's what discipleship is, church. We're supposed to disciple our youngins. We're supposed to disciple the people that we find in the way. And it was so cool because Suzanne, the mom, got up. And you know, we have foster families here. Thank you for what you're doing. And maybe you were a foster child. You know the impact of a family loving you. And even though we certainly, as a nation, we have issues in this area of taking care of our foundlings and the such, it was obvious that Suzanne and Damon, they've given their life to it. And they've helped these children find a way. Well, Suzanne got up and said, guys, I just want you to know the Mandalorian is make-believe. It's Hollywood. But I belong to the way. And she took them to John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And she told them, I'm hoping that if you don't know Jesus, you'll find him. And if you need help, I'm here. And then, you know, the armor is so important to the Mandalorian. We have an armor too. And she took them to Ephesians chapter 6, and she read it. And she said, I hope you guys will learn to put on the real armor. Now, I shared with the family, wanting them to know that I was touched. And even though it was certainly a joke, I was serious about it. I haven't talked to the wife yet, but I may buy me one of those helmets. I mean, those things are cool. And so the guy that bought all of those helmets came up to me and says, I don't know if you were joking or serious, but this is the best one to get. And I said, just for giggles, how much? $100. And so I said, well, I have to pray over that. All I'm trying to tell you, listen, this young man got to a place in his life that he didn't feel like life was worth living. My heart breaks for that. And all of us know people, and I've used this example. I want you to imagine that there's a wall right here. This is what the devil does to those people. He does it too, you know. He puts their nose right in that corner. And he keeps them facing this way, and he tells them, you're the only one struggling like this. No one cares. Look around you. There's no one here. And I want to remind you, the devil's a liar. He's a liar. All of us know people that have ended their lives, and we loved them. So we got to make sure that we get the word to them. And certainly, if I'm talking to anybody that the devil is messing with you, don't stay quiet. CR will help you with this. Sunday school classes will help you with this. Getting involved in the service of the church will help you with this. I can help you. And it just goes on and on and on. If I ask people to raise hands, they'd raise their hand that they can help you with this. Because there's way too much work to do for us to be losing people to something like that. Now, when God takes you out, you're going home. It's over. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. But I believe with all my heart, biblically, that is not our responsibility. That is His calling. So with that said, these three mottos will protect us from ever getting involved in that. Let's stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. This is a part of the Sermon on the Mount, the most important sermon Christ ever preached. You could argue the most important sermon that was ever preached. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. I've heard this first motto all my life, but it was at a Wednesday night Bible study, video Bible study by James McDonald, that the Holy Spirit just stamped this thing. I mean, just kaboom on my brain, and I haven't been able to get away from it since. One life to live, soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. I want you to hear that one more time, and then we're going to say it together. One life to live, soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Let's say it together. One life to live, soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. You did so much better than first service. I don't know if they hadn't had their coffee. It took us three times. Oh, praise the Lord. Shouldn't have told me that. I was really feeling good about you folks. You cheaters. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One, can't win, can't win. One. Let's do it without the screen, Brad. Here we go. Here, just so we don't take advantage of first service. You ready? One life to live, soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Excellent. Y'all know, since COVID, there's been an increase of funerals. There's been an increase of deaths. And like I said, it was probably 8-10 years ago, because we've been doing BRH for almost 8 years. So it was previous to that that I heard this video. But since then, I can't have a funeral experience without thinking, one life to live, soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. And this keeps me centered. It keeps me focused. You've heard me talk about the 10 million year perspective. In 10 million years from now, what is the activities that you're doing today going to still be impactful? Everything that's done for Christ will still be impactful 10 million years from now. Whether it's a seed planting or a discipleship situation, worshiping the Lord, praising the Lord, those things will be impactful 10 million years from now. One life to live, soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. This will help you and I evaluate what we're doing. I put basically underneath this point, how to test your pursuits. Please hear me. I'm not telling you can't have hobbies. I'm not telling you can't do stuff. I'm telling you shouldn't do any of it without God's permission and without God's stamp of approval, without his leadership. Because, hey, I have found God will lead you into all sorts of stuff, but he's going to lead you into it for his glory, for you to possibly take someone else along the way. When you're doing those pursuits, you talk to the people that you're doing it with about the Lord. You sharpen one another. As iron sharpeneth iron, so does one man's countenance. One man's countenance sharper than another man's countenance. It's important. One life to live. Soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. When you and I get ate up with seeking the kingdom of God first, the last thing on our mind is going to be taking our life. We've got too much to do. We've got too much to do for Christ. We've got too much on the line. Literally, church, people's lives are on the line if we don't do what God has called us to do. As missions director, looking at this whole thing of church growth, it's so simple, it's embarrassing. Get you a name on your heart and start begging God to save them and use you if it's his will. And you keep doing that, sooner or later, he's going to connect you with somebody. And you're going to see growth. We've seen it here. Folks, we don't have an organized approach to growth other than the Bethel approach. And watch this. Invite your friends, neighbors, and relatives. And you're doing it. You're doing it because we're seeing growth. And something I have found is that when you give effort, God gives more. There's people walking into this church that doesn't know anybody. Well, who's doing that? God. And when he does bring them in, we need to attach ourselves to them. And we need to welcome them and the such. More on that in other sermons. Point number two. Jesus and Jesus alone is your only source of significance and security. You've heard this a lot. Where did this get its starting? Well, before we had moved offices, it was in this office here, someone handed me the book, The Source of My Strength by Charles Stanley. And that book is summarized in that statement: yours and my significance and security alone is found, bless you, Melissa, in Christ. That is so true. But little did I know when I come across that, that God had planted that in my heart in college. Now, I shared this with First Service. This is meant to be humorous. We'll see if it happens. Jim Hoffman is actually the nephew. Johnny Hoffman was he was the dean of students at the time, but he taught our preacher boys. That's what we called them back then. And this guy was something. First of all, he was the most unique speaker I had ever been exposed to. He wasn't from around here. You ever had one of those experiences? When I moved up here and I had an emergency call to go back home, the White Ghost, 1976 Pontiac Le Mans, was low on oil. And so I went into what is Sinks now, but it was a convenience store back then. And I said, I need some oil for my car. And he looked at me like a mule looking at a new gate. And he said, I don't think we got any of that. I looked at him like a mule looking at a new gate. This is a service station, right? You work on cars. Yeah, yeah. I need some oil for the car. And he said, sir, I'm sorry. I don't know what you're saying. I said, the brown stuff that goes in the engine. Oil. Okay, I need some oil. I need some oil. Can you give me that? And I put two or three quarts in, and we went on. Daryl knows all about that. Now, and I can tell you, a six-cylinder straight engine in the Pontiac Le Mans can handle people like me. There's a lot of engines that can't. That one can. And so Johnny Hoffman talked like this. He would say, good morning, class. It's good to have you here today. And everything was on an upbeat. I mean, we would do this when we would listen to him talk. You know, how are you doing, Brother Hoffman? You know, we made merciless fun of him. And, of course, he was capable. He could handle it. But the best, I saw him speechless when one of the students during, that guy could play ping pong. You see, that was a major at Central Baptist College, ping pong, because all of the guys did it. And we all majored in it, and we all got better at it, but there were a few creme de la creme guys. Brother Hoffman was one of them. He had an illegal serve. I'm just pointing it out. But, man, could he whoop you. And so this guy, after he had gotten whooped by Brother Hoffman, he comes up to him, and he says, Brother Hoffman, where do you find those pre-pooched shirts? I thought he's going to whoop him right there. But I've been using that ever since. Little did I know I was going to need a pre-pooched shirt, you know. Well, in Brother Hoffman's class, he said, guys, I'm fixing to tell you something that'll change your life. And he was right. He was somewhat of a psychologist, but not from the world standpoint. He would try to bring the truths of God's word to bear on your situation. Those are the best ones. And he said this, preachers, the sooner you get this, the better. The women in your lives, their greatest need is security. They need to know they're taken care of. And we're all like, oh, okay. You know, we're taking notes, you know. We're clueless. And then he said this, men, your greatest need. Now, we're 20 years old. So we're sitting on the edge of our seat to hear what he's fixing to tell us our greatest need is significance. And we all kind of went, huh? He said, think about it, guys. You'd be okay in a tent with a Coleman stove to boil water to take care of your needs. But your wife, not so. She needs to know she's taken care of. But you need to know you're making a difference in this world. Okay, all right, that makes sense. The world tells us, men, that our greatest need is sexual fulfillment. I'm telling you, that's a lie, and it's a trap. Should you find sexual fulfillment in your marriage? Absolutely. Let's set up an appointment if there's issues, type thing. But for a man to buy in to that's his greatest need, that's a trap. Now watch this. And then he said, what I later finally got, bless you, in Charles Stanley's book. He said, guys, this is the problem. Your women are never going to find security in this world. You as men are never going to find significance in this world. Remember what David said? My soul thirsted for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Therefore, early will I seek thee. Church, yours and my significance and security comes from Christ and Christ alone. It does. Now, here's the amazing thing. When you and I buy into that, we get all sorts of significance from our wife and our family and our job and the such. Our wives get all sorts of security from us providing for them, yada, yada, yada. But watch this. It has to flow through the cross. You see, otherwise, we are sitting in his seat. And none of us deserve that position. And none of us are able, really, to do what he enables us to do. So I want you to hear the verse that goes with this. Mark 12:30. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And this is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's none other commandment greater than these. So if you're going to get your significance and security from Christ and Christ alone, you're going to let him set your schedule. You're going to let him give you the desires he wants you to have. Church, and I'm saying this figuratively, we should come into these services panting for God because we've wore ourselves out through the week serving him. And we come in here and these guys lead us to the throne through music. It doesn't matter as far as I'm concerned whether you, and please hear me, we want you to sing. But if you're not a singer and you just want to sit there and take it in and take it to the throne, that's okay too. But you need to be engaged and involved. You need to be engaged and involved because Jesus and Jesus alone is your only source of significance and security. He'll fill your tank on these days so that you can get through. You'll have to make pit stops at your personal private gas pump, which, of course, is your quiet time. Point number three. You know what? Let's deal with this verse first, though. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, Paul says, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. What is this talking about? It's talking about the Bema seat of Christ. You've got two judgments at the end of this age. You've got the judgment of the church, after she's been raptured, that's the Bema seat of Christ. And then you've got the judgment, the white throne judgment. That is the judgment of the lost. You and I, as saved believers, we're going to witness it, but we're not going to go through it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. But we will have already gone through this judgment of whether or not our words, thoughts, actions, and deeds were done for Christ. And church, if we're not practicing my significance and security comes from Christ and Christ alone, we're not letting him plan our lives, we're not going to do very well at this test. You see, this the first one, one life to live, was a test of your pursuits. This is how to test your emotions. What are you following after? What are you passionate about? And when we get there, Christ is going to visualize everything you've done, thought, and the such, And if it's for Christ, it's going to turn into brass, gold, or bronze, and that's going to go on your crown, and you're going to cast that crown back at Jesus' feet. If it turns to wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to burn. You're not going to lose your salvation, church, but you're not going to have as many crowns to cast before the feet of Christ. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to live our lives in such a way that we have as many crowns that we can to pass to Christ's feet. Point number three. Got to find it here. Now, I joked with the first service. The first we gave Brother James McDonald recognition for. The second we're giving Johnny Hoffman and Charles Stanley recognition for. And those names are well known. The Brother Charles and Brother James McDonald, they're known throughout the world. Johnny's known throughout the BMA, if you will. I'm not going to take credit, but I've never heard anyone else do this third one. And you know how many people have heard this one. Just you. But hear me. Hear me. Every temptation is an invitation to worship the Creator and not the creation. I'll let you cheat. This is new, and it's a long one. All right, you ready? Say it with me. Every temptation is an invitation to worship the Creator and not the creation. Did we quote the second one? Did I get carried away and forget? We did not. Then let's back up. Brad, put it on the screen. Here we go. Jesus and Jesus alone is your only source of significance and security. That was awful. Let's try it one more time. You ready? Here we go. Jesus and Jesus alone is your only source of significance and security. Much better. I'm proud of you. Now, every temptation is an invitation to worship the Creator and not the creation. Several years ago, I was at the Merrimack Retreat Center, either before or after camp, and I was mopping the floor. Somebody's job. It's usually nobody's job. So when it's nobody's job, guess who does it? Nobody. And then somebody gets upset because nobody didn't do his job. Yeah. So I had accepted that this was my job, and I went and I was mopping the floor. I was struggling with sin after sin after sin, mopping the stupid floor. And I'm like, Lord, help me. I know that I am not supposed to be fellowshipping with these thoughts. I know I'm not supposed to be giving in. These are going to lead to other sins and other struggles. Help me. And me and the Lord, we just talked. And he asked me this question. What are you struggling with? And at first I was like, God, you know, no. Name it. So I named it. And he said, what is that? It's a part of your creation. That's right. You're lusting, if you will, after something that I created. Whether it's possessions, fame, lust, sexual lust. I mean, fill in the blank. Whatever it is, it's creation that we are lusting after. And you know why this is such an offense to God? You've cut out the Creator. We should be giving Him credit instead of just wanting to consume it, James says, upon our lusts. And boy, I was like, man, Lord, that makes all the sense in the world. So we sat there and we worked till we got to this. And this is just for me alone, if it doesn't bless and help anybody else. But when I'm struggling, this is what I remind myself. Every temptation is an invitation to worship the Creator and not the creation. Church, we've already said this, but the creation will leave you hungry. It'll leave you thirsty. But the Creator will fill you up. He will absolutely give you what you need to survive. And church, you gonna hear me? It's a moment by moment experience. Brother Ben, I just don't know, man. I'm just struggling. I've told several people this. Good. And they look at me. Good. You're struggling with it. You're not giving in. Oh, never really thought of it that way. Yeah. Don't give in to it. Struggle with it. Fight it. And church, listen to me. Get some help. We have ministries right here at this church that will help you with your hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. The context of this verse is salvation. Because Paul was helping the Galatians realize that the Judaizers were telling them, no, you still need to get circumcised. You still need to work your way to heaven. And Paul was saying, no, don't you dare think that that's how you're going to get to heaven. If you sow to the flesh, you reap of the flesh, eternal damnation. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap of the Spirit, eternal salvation. Now, however, it is true in our daily life, we're saved, but we can sin less. And as you and I use this motto, we will sin less. Now, you're fixing to get something that the first service didn't get because we ran out of time. Anybody watched a video on an EDC? Anybody? You know what that is? Craig, I'm surprised if you don't know what that is. All right. Everyday carry. What is your everyday carry? Now, I know Craig has an everyday carry, and most guys that are prepared, they have an everyday carry. Christians, you need an everyday carry. And your everyday carry is this simply, because we've talked about this so many times. Prayer, Bible reading and scripture, memory, the armor, the core principle, the Bethel approach, and humility. That needs to be an everyday carry for the believer. And these three mottos will help keep you centered. So, what has God brought to mind that you need to put on your to-do list? Let's all stand. Musicians, will you come? The title of the message was simply three mottos to live by and one practical practice. The practical practice, of course, was the EDC. Every day as Christians, we need to make sure that we're praying, we're reading the Word of God, we're memorizing Scripture, we're putting on the armor, we're living out the core principle, which is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. The Bethel approach, which is to carry the gospel to the Franklin County, and humility. You know, humility for me is another way to say forgiveness. If you're humble, you're going to be forgiving people. You're going to, because, you know, the Scripture is very clear on that. If you don't forgive others, the Lord's not going to forgive you of your sin. That's not on a salvation level. That's on a day-to-day cleansing level. What decision needs to be made today? Father, we ask you to do your will and way in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you come?